Chair, and of course, we would appreciate a continued interest in your prayers tonight. Last night, I had the privilege of doing the program, the subject that we talked about down at Brother Carlton's, and I spoke about, you know, Adam and his role, and you know, he being the first man, Adam, and of course, you know, had several things to say about him and his position, how he was created. Of course, he was created perfect. He was upright. He was complete in every way as God intended for him to be as a natural man. And of course, spoke about his you know, progeny, how that you know, he was lived 969 years, and or 960 years, somewhere along in there, 930 years maybe it was, but he was able to, as a result of that, see, you know, a large family, of course, and able to share his story, no doubt, and I believe that he did. I believe that the scripture, you know, without going into that aspect of what's on my mind tonight, would help bear that in record. Because verbally is how records were kept in those days. And so it paid well for people to have a good memory. And of course, I believe that by and large, as far as the total percentage of the human population compared now as to then, more people would have that ability than what they do now. Because the nature of sin, sadly, has to factor into that as smart as we think people are nowadays, you know, the things that we rely on computers to do, I personally believe that Adam and his generations could do without computers easily. But anyhow, what I want to talk about tonight in mentioning that is of course, what would be a continuation from thinking about Adam and, of course, his role as far as humankind is concerned, as far as the creation of God in the world that he's created that we live in is concerned. I want to start by making point of the fact that Adam is humankind's representative, whether we like it or not. You know, whether we want to believe it or not. Whether we feel comfortable about it or not. You know, Satan, of course, and you know, every time I say that, I have to put an asterisk, you know. Satan just helps us along. A lot of times we do quite well without Satan's help as far as getting things all wrong are concerned. but a lot of times, you know, especially when it comes to talking to people about God and his judgment and sin and of course what the scripture has to tell us about condemnation and so forth. A lot of times people's reply to those kinds of things, of course, especially if they're not thinking spiritually, and depending upon what they've been taught, even spiritually, you know, that you get a negative reaction. You know, I'm responsible, you know, for, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not who I don't have to, and they don't want to believe, you know, that where we are as far as our nature's concerned, has it had anything at all to do with Adam. You know, that everybody has to stand for themselves, they have to speak for themselves, and so forth. Well, Brother Sonny Piles was fond of saying, they'd be all right if it wasn't all wrong. Representation in the human activity of this world is, it's common. It's very common. You know, our form of government is a representative form of government. Of course, anything that's in this world that we have anything to do with, of course, it's not. The principle of a thing may be perfect, but that doesn't mean that we're going to carry it out perfect, because we're imperfect.
Right.
The representative form of government is in my opinion, the second best form of government that there's ever been. The first, of course, is how God dealt with the nation of Israel. But my point in all this is, you know, being a representative form of government, of course, that means that we the people, based upon our laws and our rules, you know, you have to be a certain age, you have to meet certain criteria, you have to be a citizen, and so forth, and I use the word have to be, you're supposed to be. And you go to the poll and vote. You vote for a president, a vice president, you vote for congressman, you vote for dog catcher, you vote for whatever you vote for. Well, that person or persons that you vote for, then, your vote, you're not only, you know, your vote is saying this, that I am giving you the authority to represent me in government, in the ruling of this country, or in the ruling of a state, or a county, or a city, etc. Of course, in government, because it's dealing with mankind and so forth, there, you know, as there can be inherent problems with that. But by and large, it works. And it's a good way to live in a country where the citizens of a country do have a voice in the way their country is run. As we've seen in the history of our country, of course, it's not always worked. And it's not always free of corruption, as we're seeing in our present day, let alone going back in history. So my point in all that is that when we talk about understanding of the doctrines of the Scripture and how God dealt with us and why he had to do the things that he did because of what Adam did shouldn't be so hard to understand if we'll just stop and think about it a minute. You know, that the way things were set up by God, the way he created things, Adam, by the very nature of the situation, is our representative. We are represented in him. And even more so, you think of thinking about government, you know, we elect all these people and they go to wherever they go, to the Congress or to state legislators, and they, in their infinite wisdom, they decide to impose a 5% tax on the sale of gasoline. Well, we've given them the authority to do that. And whenever they put that into law, well then, by law, we have to pay that 5% tax, whether we like it or not. You know, now, of course, when it comes to that kind of an example, supposedly, you know, there are ways that we can get that law changed. We can, the next election, we can put people into office who promise those that put them in office that will change it or will do away with it. Well, that's okay. You know, that kind of representation we can understand. But now there are other kinds of representation, aren't there? You know, that we take for granted every day. It goes on all the time. Number one, you and I are human beings. Not because we chose to be a human being, but because our parents were. And there's a term for that. I wish I could remember it. That's a kind of representation that we had no voice in. But when our parents were blessed to have children, then those children are representatives of their parents. It's a hereditary representation or genetic representation. Of course, that's all by God's design and creation, that the very large percentage of time, you know, we look at ourselves and we have blonde hair and blue eyes. There's a very high chance that one or more of our parents and our grandparents had blonde hair and blue eyes, etc. So there's that kind of representation that things come into being because of the way that the parent or that which brings it into being passes its traits down to it. Of course, that's the kind of representation that the Bible is talking about as far as our being descendants of Adam. And that's, of course, by God's design. When God created Adam, when he formed Adam of the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man, or Adam, became a living soul. One of these days, I'd like to, I keep saying I'm going to study it out more, but one of these days I'd like to approach it, that, you know, there are times in the early books, chapters of Genesis, whenever God, in dealing with the creation of Adam, that he says he did so and so as far as he says he did this for the man. And then there are other times whenever he says he did it, you know, and he calls his name Adam. Of course, Adam, you know, means man. I mean, that's, you know, he created man in his image and after his likeness. And he called him Adam because that's what he was. He was a man. Adam means ruddy. Adam was a man. He called him what he was. And he called Eve a woman because she came out of the man. So anyhow, in thinking those things, when it comes to doctrine, of course, all that's important, especially when it comes to the doctrine of salvation. Why is salvation important? Because we need it. And the reason we need it is because we're sinners. Sin, as we know, the Bible teaches us, you know, that sin, of course, is that thing that has separated God from man. Sin entered into the world. That disobedience by Adam, bringing it about, of course, fixed a great gulf. It forever affected the situation between God and man. If it had not been for the fact, as we know from studying the scriptures, that God had already a salvation in place, then of course it would have forever affected all of humankind. But thankfully it only affected a portion, because God had a plan in place. Salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. But the important thing, of course, about a representation is the fact that in Adam, we all have sin. I'm looking for that verse of Scripture. Bear with me just a minute. I don't know if I can't see or... No, I can see. I just don't see the verse of Scripture that I wanted right. Okay. Here it is. Romans chapter 5. I looked right at it and couldn't see it. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Paul says, sin entered into the world. Now, that word wherefore is there for a reason. The first 11 verses of this chapter are important, but of course, because of time, we won't go into that tonight. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. The entrance of sin wasn't an accumulation of a group of events, but it was by one man's disobedience that sin entered into the world. And of course, in death by sin. The nature of sin, of course, is that once that sin entered into the world, it's highly infectious. Even worse than COVID.
Absolutely.
In fact, we have COVID because we have that infection. You know, if we didn't have sin, we wouldn't have to worry about getting inoculated for anything else. And Paul reminds us, of course, and of course teaches, that it was by one man sin entered into the world. That definitely, of course, tells us that according to the Apostle Paul's understanding, who's writing by the inspiration of Scripture, that prior to that, there was no sin in the world. There was no reason for sin to be in the world. And it also tells us that it was the way that sin entered into the world was by one man's disobedience. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And if I may do a commentary on understanding what Paul is saying, or explaining what Paul is saying, he's saying, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by that sin. See, there was no death, of course, before Adam sinned, before Adam transgressed, disobeyed God's law. Of course, we know that's what God had told Adam. You know, that thou mayest freely eat of all the trees that are in the garden. You know, help yourself. But the tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou mayest not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely, which means truly, die. God says, Adam, I want you to understand, you know, have no doubts about it, that That tree is forbidden. The fruit of that tree is forbidden. And if you partake of it at any time, that this will happen. It won't be up for debate, etc. It's going to happen. and that disobedience of Adam, of course, was sin. That's the first sin that's ever occurred in this world. And you know, there's a rule of first occurrence when it comes to things, when it comes to studying God's Word. We think about, you know, things that have occurred in Scripture, and, you know, subjects that we can discuss, and whatever those subjects might be, a good majority of the time, if not all the time, if you trace it all the way back to the first time that subject is addressed, or we're told about it in the Bible, then you can learn about it. And there are certain things, certain principles that will be established at that point that'll go with it throughout the rest of Scripture. Sin, the Scripture teaches us the very simple definition of sin is disobedience. You know, it's not doing what God says not, you know, to do. If He says don't eat, well, when you eat, you sinned. You know, so therefore it shouldn't be of any hard to understand. I think it's 6 of the 10 commandments that He says, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And He said, Adam, thou shalt not eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay? And of course we know that Adam partook of that, the fruit of that tree, and Adam died. Of course, at the point of the actual transgression, he began to die. But the ultimate death, of course, was secured. It was going to happen. That was just the beginning of the road to the day of Adam's dying, or of Adam's death. Which I've always looked at that this way. That's one of the first examples, and maybe one of the best examples in the Scripture of God's mercy. Because considering how righteous God is, and the fact that Adam is here because of who God is, not who Adam is. Adam had nothing to do with being where he was at. Adam had nothing to do with being Adam. God created him. God blessed him to be the man that he was. To be able to know God, to be able to view God's creation, to be able to just be alive. And he put all that in jeopardy. He transgressed God's law. He disobeyed God and sinned. And of course, God said, when that happens, thou shalt surely die. But what Adam deserved was immediate death. But he spent many days dying. The Bible doesn't tell us. We know how old Adam was when he died. 930, not 969. That was Methuselah. 930. How old was Adam whenever he, you know, ate of the fruit of that tree? The Bible doesn't tell us. All the Bible tells us that, you know, that he did live for 930 years. So how much of that time did he spend dying? Well, if it was ever how much of his life it was, It was as a result of his disobedience. By one man's transgression, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. There's your representation. Paul says, and so, or consequently, or as a result of, like it or not, that's the way it is. That of course, tells us not only the representativeness of the situation here, but it also tells us something about the creation of God and how that God created man. In God's creating of Adam, and then, of course, blessing him with the helpmeet, Eve, he created them in such a way so that they could procreate, which means that they could, you know, he gave them the ability to create other human beings. Before their disobedience. I mean, whenever they were initially and originally created, they had that ability. No, I don't know the answer to what if they'd had children before they, you know, transgressed. Well, I don't know. That would have been an interesting situation. But they did. But the procreation part, of course, worked because God created it to work. And whenever it happened with them, whenever it happens with all, the person that those two individuals are, the patterns, I'm going to use the word pattern, that's in them is combined by God's design and is passed into another human being. So see, representation is everywhere. You know, what we are as individuals is as a result by representation of our parents and their parents, etc. But you know, before, I mean, we've all gone to, you know, to biology class in school, and we know how genes and chromosomes and all those kinds of things work, and amazing how that God has blessed mankind to be able to study those kinds of things. And before procreation happens, you know, they can tell you, you know, the likelihood of the genetic makeup of children ahead of time. You know, what color their eyes will be, what color their hair will be, if they'll have any genetic or any diseases, etc. Isn't it amazing? All the technology that we have, but as much technology as we have, and as much as we can tell all those kinds of things, and even in a lot of cases actually improve the life of a child by being able to modify genes and chromosomes. Whether they should or not, that's a debate for another time, of course, but some of it's a great blessing. But my point is this, they can't change, what word should I use? They can't change the very nature. They can't remove sin. You know, if they could do that, number one, if they could do that, they'd have more power than God does. But of course, that's not going to happen.
No.
But number two, from a practical standpoint, if they could do that, you know, now you're talking about improving life.
Yeah.
That would be something else, wouldn't it? But we have one who has removed sin. In his own way, of course. For if, okay, so we understand representation. One man. That one man was Adam. Adam transgressed. Every human being from that time forth is paid the price and will. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. Of course, that was God's judgment. Adam, you eat of the fruit of this tree. The day that you do that, thou shalt surely die. Of course, the Apostle Paul lets us, he says, you know, he talks about Adam and Adam's part that's played in sin entering into the world. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. All have sinned. Why? Because Adam sinned. Like father, like son. You know, as with every other trait that we inherit from our parents, we inherit sin. Sin is inherent. That's just the way it is. And you know, it's a whole lot better to deal with the situation dealing with the facts, being truthful about it. You know, not denying the obvious. You know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are sinners from Adam forward, except thankfully for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All have sinned. All have come under that condemnation. and then we have the parenthetical thing in the beginning of verse 13. but because of time tonight, I want to skip down to verse 18, where the apostle says, then, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Not only by one man's transgression did sin enter into the world, and death passed upon all men, but judgment is passed upon all men. We're all under the same judgment, the judgment of God. And that's by representation. Whatever, you know, it's like think of judgment as a tax, as I mentioned earlier. You know, if the President of the United States decides to, you know, to tax every citizen, or you think about in the Old Testament where even Joseph and Mary had to return to Bethlehem because Caesar sent out that all the world should be taxed. Well, whatever he sent out that decree, well, it affected all that were under the authority of that decree. And so the whole world was to be taxed. And whenever God passed judgment upon the disobedience of Adam, it affected, you know, all that that were in Adam. And it affects all of us, whether we like it or not. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. Therefore, it's by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. We're all condemned, just like Adam was. The same condemnation. What is that condemnation? Death. But aren't you thankful Paul didn't quit there? I mean, he could have said this somewhere else, and it would have been okay. But he says it right here. I personally am thankful that the Spirit blessed Paul to put it right here. Because therefore it's by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's the low point. I mean, that's the low point. All have been condemned. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Well, those that were represented in Adam, this is their condemnation. Those that represented in Jesus Christ, this is their justification. Now, the word all, you probably heard me say this before, but the word all doesn't always mean every. You know, every is pretty specific, but all is just kind of like you all. You know, it's, and of course, in doctrine, as well as an understanding from the original scriptures, whenever it says all, it's of all kinds. You know, Jesus Christ didn't just die for the Jews. He died for the Gentiles as well. All, you know, some of, maybe not the whole, but some of the whole, but whatever the sum of the whole was, he died for all of them. And he died for all kinds, you know, for Jews, for Gentiles, for Americans, for Europeans, for Asians, for children who die in their mother's womb, you know, for young people, for middle-aged people, for old people, for people who live to be 969 years old, or those that may only live to be 69 years old. That's for all kinds of people, which I like to think about that in connection with these kinds of things, because it shows God's creation and the diversity of it. Yes, he created Adam, and then he blessed in Adam to have in him the seed to pass on to his children, and they to theirs, but they're not clones of one another. They're not, they're not like toys that are made to be identical. They're a lot the same, but they're everyone different. And it's amazing, isn't it, to be told that every human being, billions upon billions of human beings, have their own genetic imprint. Yours is different from mine. Mine's different from the next person's. Every single solitary human being has their own, you know, fingerprint, their own genetic code, etc. Mathematically speaking, that boggles any computer. You know, to think about the billions of people that are alive today, let alone the billions of people that have existed in this world, since Adam and Eve, that every one of them, as alike as they are, they're different. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. One man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Ever how many sinners there are, that's the sinners that he's talking about. Many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's another thing about a representation, of course, is that there's representation by just the very nature of a thing. As I talked about earlier, as citizens of the United States of America, by the very nature of our government, it being a representative government, well, then we're represented by that government. But when it comes to the genetic thing, we're made by that representation. I mean, when it comes to government, we can have a voice in it. When it comes to our genetic makeup, we don't have any voice in it. We're made that way. So he says here, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam transgressed. As a result of his transgression, he made those that would come after him sinners. But by the obedience of Jesus Christ, his dying and shedding his blood upon the cross of Calvary and paying the price of redemption, the price of atonement, the price to put away sin, whenever he did that, well, then many, those that he died for, are made righteous. They don't have to become righteous. They don't have to work at it. They don't have to live by a system and keep it. They don't have to outrun their creditor. They're made righteous. And of course that's very comforting to know that whenever Jesus Christ paid our sin debt, that at the point that he paid that price, then all those that he died for were made righteous. They didn't have to ask for it even. They didn't have to apply for it. They didn't have to, do anything for it. Jesus Christ, the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, all working together, have made us the children of God, have made us righteous, have made us accepted in the beloved. That'd be a good outline. Just look and see how many times the scripture talks about the things that God made us. And so we've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've always believed that. But the older I get, the more thankful I am to believe that it's true. That that by the obedience of Jesus Christ, that as one of God's family, that I've been made righteous. And that's, of course, important, as you know, because that's the only way that anyone can have any hope whatsoever, any glimmer of hope whatsoever of standing in the presence of God. God can't look upon sin. He just can't do it. Can't allow it. It's only by His great mercy that we've been blessed to continue to the present day, or blessed to continue past Adam, as far as that's concerned. Spent most of the time, of course, all the time, of course, talking about being represented in Adam. Be nice, but maybe the next time, to talk about being represented in Jesus Christ. Talked about all that that meant to us as far as being represented in Adam. Of course, be a whole lot more fun to talk about all that means to us being represented in Jesus Christ. Because everything that we talk about as far as Adam, it leads to not a good end. But everything, when it comes to talking about Jesus Christ, it gets better and better and better and better. Because ultimately, of course, being our representative, we have a relationship with God. He being our representative, we have fellowship with God. We have communion with God. And not only that, but we have all of those things with one another. And ultimately, of course, thankful to have that hope, the understanding of being able to, or going to have an eternal existence with God. You know, that He's not just loving us for the time that we spend here on earth, but it's an eternal love that's going to be a blessing for us through eternity. May the Lord add His blessing.
What else am I having to say?